Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We're not done with the giveaway. Superstar world champion Jermell Charlo looks to make boxing history in his home state of Texas when he defends his super welterweight world titles against undefeated WBO world champion Brian Castano. Make sure to get your tickets now to see the action live at attcenter.com or ticketmaster.com. That ATT Center should be a clue. That's in San Antonio. So only if you can go. Caller 10. Caller 10 right now gets a pair of tickets to see World Championship Boxing featuring one of the Charlo brothers, that'd be Jermell, in San Antonio against Brian Castano. Caller 10 right now.
Screw Brian Castano. Jerk. I don't know him. All I'm saying is he's a jerk. No one wants him around. Charlo's going to beat his ass. Which one is it? Jermell?
Jermell.
Yeah, that's right. Take that, Brian. 713-780-3772. You got any thoughts on Matt Carpenter? You're more than welcome to get in here and do that. I don't want to hear your slander about Matt Carpenter's hitting this year. Matt Carpenter is a professional hitter. How many years did you play in the big leagues, Dell? Zero. He's got 11 now.
Wait, I didn't throw any slander his way.
I know, but I know you were thinking it because it's baseball. So so there's that. But
no, I was looking at it, and I was like, let me take a look at Matt Carpenter's spot track. I was like, he's making pretty good money. Making pretty good money.
But you let me hold some, Matt Carpenter.
Yeah, how about Matt Carpenter? How about Matt Carpenter is making good money because he's been a really good hitter. I was just looking at the 2011 World Series, and do you know, I mean, it is really kind of amazing. Do you know who led them in hitting in that 2011 World Series?
I don't know.
Let's see. Batting average? Well, one guy had three at-bats and two hits.
It's not. Was it Big Puma?
Lance Berkman, he hit .423 in that World Series.
What he did.
David Freese, remember how clutch he was?
Yeah.
He only hit .348. Yachty hit .333.
Freese, I forgot about that. But
he was money.
Lance Berkman is just clutch. I mean, he was just clutch in the postseason. Remember when he was a Yankee? That never made sense.
No, that made no sense. He had 11 hits and 26 at-bats, a double, a home run in that. Remember the big hit that actually extended that one game six for him? Remember that great game, Game 6 they had in 2011 against the Rangers?
Yeah, that's, you know, there is something, you hold a special, clutch players will always hold a special place in your heart. Mm-hmm. If you're a fan, you always remember those guys, and they don't have to be the best players. Kirk Gibson's home run for A's fans, and really just if you're a sports fan at the time, watching what Robert Horry did and all these for all these different teams and all these series, and I think it blows people away when they look at his numbers. When you look at his career numbers, it's always staggering to see how relatively unproductive he was relative to the championships that he was directly involved with helping to win. It's what's made him a cult hero around the city of Houston, and probably with San Antonio and with L.A. I mean, wherever he's been, he's hit these monster shots, and there is something to the ability to calm yourself and raise your focus.
But I never look at Puma like, you know, hey, you know, he's a Cardinal and he won a World Series with the Cardinals. He was vital to their winning the World Series. He had a over 1,000 OPS and a .423 average. He had 11 hits in that series in a seven-game series. I mean, that is – he was instrumental in them winning. You just think, oh, Astro, and really great hitter. It just pisses me off that he's not – that Lance Berkman can't be in the Hall of Fame, that after the first year. We're going to have Richie on this week. Allison Footer is going to join us tomorrow to talk some baseball. What about Richie later in the week, Friday?
Still trying.
We'll still trying, on. Friday. We're working on getting Richie in here on Friday to talk baseball, and the Astros coming back on Friday. So we'll do that. But I asked him why he didn't vote for Lance Berkman to be in the Hall of Fame, because that was a big mistake. That was an unbelievable mistake. When you look at Edgar Martinez's numbers and Lance Berkman, who played the field, you're like, really? Lance Berkman has better numbers than I can't even tell you how many guys that are in the Hall of Fame, and he doesn't make it out of the first round of Hall of Fame balloting. Just stupid. Just really, really stupid. All right, 713-780-3776.
Just thinking about that all the time. Like the indignity of throwing a guy off that list with his numbers, when you really start to compare them, you're like, wait a minute. He was prematurely thrown off a list that he should be on for a while.
Well, he didn't catch 5% of the vote.
I know, but that's
so
that's premature. That was premature.
Yeah, yeah.
And it had nothing to do with baseball.
But I think, yeah, when you're in a good year with a bunch of Hall of Famers that are possibilities, and you're coming up as a – because that dude, I'm telling you, he is going to be somebody that the Veterans Committee, they're going to look at in 15 years as well they should. They're going to go, this was a mistake that this guy isn't. That this guy's not under consideration, at least consideration for being in the Hall of Fame. Baseball is the hardest. There's no question about it. But Lance has the numbers. He's got better numbers than a lot of guys that are in. Marcus Rashford. We only got a couple of minutes left in this segment because we had to went a little long with Carp. Marcus Rashford. Apparently he almost broke down. He was in tears. Because of the outpouring of people, the positivity after he's got a mural in England, and it was covered with offensive graffiti. People covered it up and put hearts and notes on there.
Aww.
Yeah. And he was on the verge
lame.
Of
don't,
tears.
Angry Dell kind of doesn't like it.
Don't label me. You don't know
Schadenfreude
me.
Dell is like,
I would ask that you not speak for me because you don't know me. If you don't know who Marcus Rashford is,
yeah.
He is one of the players for England who missed the penalty kick.
They're called the Big Three now.
No, they're not. Oh. In their European final loss to Italy, he was one of the guys who was the second most, not hated, but he caught the second most abuse of any player in the last year, only behind LeBron James. And this was before missing the penalty. So, good. I'm glad the people of England who, you know, aren't awful people decided, you know what, we're going to show our guy some support. He's only 23. Just think of the ages. So, the guy who missed the final penalty was 21. Rashford is 23. And I think Sancho, who was the other penalty kick misser, is very young too. So they put a lot of pressure on some very young guys, and they didn't come through. That dude's 21. So it's 23, 21, and 19, missing the biggest kicks of their lives. Hey, coach, maybe find some older guys. Maybe not pick.
Well, not if they're their best.
That was
their best.
But I don't know that they were the best, and they've never been in those situations. Like, that was a big mental – look, PKs are as much about getting in the head of the goalkeeper, and then you have to deliver a kick. You know, Harry Kane, he guessed right on Harry Kane's, but Harry Kane just blasted it because he would have stopped the lesser kick, but Harry Kane just really blasted it. And the other guys just did not have the same pace, and of course, Rashford just made a – just kind of mentally got a little tight. But there is something to be said for putting a more experienced penalty kicker. I saw an English fan. I was just on a thread somewhere, and they said, how in the world? You know, everyone's blaming the manager and not the players. It's both. One, these guys choked, and also the goalkeeper's 6'4", and he's pretty talented.
It's very
too.
Hard for me. Look, Sacco had played quite a bit, the young man who missed the final one. But the other two
– just in the game.
Were just put in for – they hadn't even – broken a sweat.
But they were put in for penalty purposes.
Well, yeah, but just throwing them in that type of situation. Yeah. It's like bringing a guy in cold.
10 to 12 minutes on the field.
Yeah, bringing a guy in cold to make, hey, come make this game-winning three to win the game.
Well, you've been you haven't played all game.
Yeah. But the Italians didn't have any. They were not. Were any of those guys subs? I didn't know their situation. But
sure, they. I don't remember.
Look, I know it became a racial thing because the three players who missed were black. Yeah. But,
and I called him Sacco. His last name is Sacca, the final penalty kicker.
But it was, listen, anybody who missed was going to catch a ton of grief in England for missing that. Especially if your three were anybody, they were going to get obliterated because this is what soccer fans do. Like, they say Baggio, and this is back in 94 for Italy, Baggio missed a World Cup kick over the top. I remember I didn't even really care about soccer then, and I remember watching the Baggio penalty kick go sailing over the top of the and he was just, he went from beloved to hated. And that was in 90, that was pre-Twitter and pre-Twitch.
Wow.
With all the hatefulness.
Wow.
And so, yeah, they were going to get lit up. But that's always sad to me that, you know what, it's always going to be like that. If you gag in soccer at all, you're going to be hated. The manager will be hated. The players will be hated. But to see what it's come to now with death threats and all, and this has been going on for a while. I remember when Steve Blake got the death threats for missing a shot with the Lakers because, you know, that's how the Lakers fans decided to treat him. It's just unbelievable that the anonymity of social media allows people to
be a-holes.
Yeah, to do this stuff.
All right.
What happened to the good old days of actually showing up at people's houses and burning their jerseys Schaub? No, like the Matt Schaub days.
Well, no, they didn't burn his jersey. They just put a sign in his yard. Nobody burned their
jersey. No, that's old school, what you used to do to coaches. When my dad coached at LSU, I can't remember. Curly Holm was the coach. They started showing up and putting signs in Curly's.
For sale sign.
That's old school.
That's old school.
That's old school. That's the original troll job. Yeah. You would actually show up and have to put a sign in a for sale sign in a yard.
That's what you do. Right now, though, you talk about Texas Custom Patios.
I've never been happier than last Friday. Never been happier than last Friday when Steve and Shell laid out what we were going to do with the kitchen. And I got a cooktop coming, I've got the DSC infrared grill, which I know you have, as a matter of fact. Going to get that built in. Just really excited about having an outdoor kitchen where I can do that cooking, where the bacon and the hamburgers, things that, you know, we're doing differently. I don't always like to get the grill out and pull the Memphis out there that I have and do all that. Sometimes I want to just throw it on the grill and do like a diner burger, man. That's going to be exciting. This opens up the cheesesteaks and the fried eggs on that and the scrambled eggs. I can't wait. Really excited. But Texas Custom Patios does an amazing job of giving you a space that you can maximize and live your best life. And when it comes to the value of the home, so many people now are willing to pay top dollar for houses. But if you've got something like a brand new custom-built Texas Custom Patio, customized patio, it is going to make a world of difference when it comes to getting you top dollar for your home. So think of it as something that's going to really add value to your home in the future, but it's going to give you pleasure right now when it comes to having friends over, family members over, or you just kicking back and watching games on your patio with a surround sound system, TexasCustomPatios.com. Go to TCPLance.com to see what he did for me.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 19 past, 9:19. Good show. We had Matt Carpenter on.
Somebody asked, and KFMG said, he wants to know if Matt Carpenter sent you a pizza.
No.
He thinks your love for Matt Carpenter means you got a pizza for Matt Carpenter. Hey, actually did.
We got pizza on the way back. No. We got pizza on the way back from Chicago, and yes, Matt Carpenter paid for it. So, yes, Matt Carpenter did send me a pizza. That is accurate. Didn't send it so much as pick it up. We picked it up. So, yes. Now I got you want to talk about a nice – there's nice guys in – you know, Art's going to say, you don't know him, John. Well, I kind of do. A lot of my friends know him really well. Like Chad Huffman knows him really, really well since they played Little League high school, college, and pro ball together. That's unbelievable.
That's insane. Some of the stuff you talked about, he's the best with bases loaded.
Yep.
He's done that with Royce Huffman. He's ahead of Al Kaline for what?
Stan Musial.
Or Stan Musial, rather.
Hit more
that's
doubles
insane.
Than him.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's insane that he's done all of this stuff already.
Yeah.
The little things like that.
Yeah. No. He's and he's a great guy. So, yeah, I'm a big fan. And, yes, he bought me a pizza. He did buy me pizza. So, if you buy me pizza, guess what? That's actually accurate. That is actually accurate. How excited are you about the Open Championship starting up on Thursday morning? Who you got? Have you picked your players yet?
But I want you to tell me who I should look at.
Well, I'm going to.
Did you know John Rahm has a club foot?
John Rahm has a club foot? Did you see the guy steal Rory's club?
He got kicked out.
He's getting prosecuted.
Now you answer mine. Did you know John Rahm had a club foot?
No, I did not know that.
I didn't know it either, but now I'm interested. John Rahm is coming off a victory in the U.S. Open. He's playing some of the best golf of anyone in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems odd that the newly crowned major champion from Spain, who's been a top 10 player in the world for several years, would ever be questioned about his short backswing. Do you notice that it's a short backswing?
Oh, it's a very... and Tony Finau both have really short backswings.
But Rahm says it happens all the time, so he decided to explain Tuesday at Royal St. George. He was born with a club foot, a clubbed right foot. I have certain unique parts and certain physical limitations that let my swing...
I want a club foot.
The way I swing, Rahm said, and I don't deviate from that. Rahm, 26, said... He seems like he's older than 26. Said when he was born, his right foot was turned at a 90-degree angle to the left. Bones in the angle, God, the editor did a terrible job. Bones in the angle, which should say ankle, were broken soon after birth, and he was casted up to the knee, a procedure that occurred time and again over weeks early in his life. So from the knee down, my leg didn't grow at the same rate. So I have very limited ankle mobility in my right leg. It's a centimeter and a half shorter as well. So he has all these limitations, stability, mobility in his right ankle. And so that's changed his swing. He had to alter his swing, but you never knew about, I didn't know about the club foot thing. This apparently just came out.
Doesn't bother me.
He's playing.
I'm not going to, are you going to judge him for a deformity? No, I'm going to judge him by how he plays golf. U.S. Open champ. Yes.
So he has COVID and he has a club foot.
Right. He had COVID and then then he came back and won the U.S. Open.
But he's not going to be a U.S. champion to me. He's going to be that clubfoot guy.
Well, he is that clubfoot guy, yeah.
In his bio blast on ESPN, if I was riding the lower third, I'd be like, clubfoot guy.
That's not...
COVID.
Were you going to change his Wikipedia page?
I would write, he contracted COVID and he has a clubfoot. And that's all I'd write.
What about the U.S. Open?
Not important to me.
That's not even nearly as good as
COVID. He contracted COVID, short backswing, clubfoot guy. That's his bio blast for me.
That's it.
What else did he accomplish? I don't care.
No.
Not more important than having a clubfoot.
What's the most important thing to you?
His clubfoot.
Clubfoot.
That may be the most important thing in golf to me. In all of golf.
Oh my goodness, you guys. How about this? John Wall apparently liked a tweet about him being traded to the Clippers.
I'm sure he
would
like out.
That
like all the rest of them.
Rate the trade, John Wall to the Clippers.
For who?
And John Wall said, yeah, positive.
Yeah,
thumbs up.
He knows.
Yeah.
His time as a starting player for the Rockets has already come to an end, really.
If they pick up, listen, if you got Kevin Porter and you got Jalen Green, how much you want John Wall on the court?
This is what I'm saying. I mean, I've listened to multiple podcasts about the draft, and people love them some Evan Mobley. Like,
I know, almost really like he's
a clear number two in some people's eyes. Like, why? Because of his ability on the defensive end, even if his offensive game is slow to develop, he's a legit defensive player early.
My boy Rod, who I trust on basketball-related stuff, I mean, he's a guy who's a former player. He's like, dude, Evan Mobley, you don't find skilled big men like that all that often in the NFL. They're much rarer than explosive guards. He said Porter's an example of how you can go find a guard to get you 20 who's explosive. He said they're easier to find. He said the skilled big men like Mobley are much, much harder to find who can play potentially three, four, or five for you, usually four or five, depending on the team. And he made a good point. It's just that with Christian Wood there, I don't know that I agree with that course of action. If Christian Wood is going to be on your team, why would you get? I'm not saying they can't play together, but and I guess if they're both athletic, you can switch. They can do more switching defensively. There's some advantages to have, I guess.
Listen,
people love Evan Mobley.
Van Gundy, I asked him about duplicity. He's like, duplicity. I don't want to hear about duplicity. Who cares? Just get the best player. If they think Evan Mobley is the best player, then okay. Then Evan Mobley. You know what? Chris Wallace has done a pretty nice job with high draft picks. Okay. If they think that Evan Mobley's the guy, if they think Jalen Green's the guy, you ain't worried about Kevin Porter Jr. And you certainly ain't worried about Christian Wood either, because you could play both those guys on the floor at the same time. Mobley can step out. He can stay. He can go inside. He can step out. He can do all those things. So the proposed trade would send, let's see if you do this, Marcus Morris, Patrick Beverley, Rajon Rondo, and Luke Kennard to Houston for John Wall and Houston's 2023 first-round pick via the Bucks, which I don't know which one that is, 22 or 23.
Either way, it won't be a great.
No, it's not a great.
No.
Done. Let's do it right now.
How much? What are you getting back again?
Marcus Morris, Pat Beverley, Rajon Rondo, and Luke Kennard.
Are all those, maybe not Luke Kennard, but all the rest of those guys like have 1 year left in their deal? Is that what it is?
I don't care.
No, you should, because if the deal is shorter, that's why you make the trade.
Right. Well, either way, I mean, you can get rid of a Pat. It's getting rid of $40 million for John Wall. Or breaking it up where you can get rid of pieces is much easier. Those guys are all in this deal because that probably matches up the money.
Well, yeah, and it's a benefit to the Rockets if you can get out from under the longer-term deal.
And the bigger deal.
And the money.
Yeah.
Pat Beverley is an unrestricted free agent after this upcoming season.
Done.
So that makes sense. You're getting shorter deals for less money.
Done.
I don't know if the Clippers are interested in all that.
But I would love to have... Look, Pat is a cheap shot artist now. It sucks, but I would love to have a guy with that kind of demeanor. When I say demeanor, like, he's about ball. He is, even if you don't like the way he plays it. Having that on a young team, I don't hate it. I wouldn't hate it at all. Getting a guy like Wall who doesn't even play every game, you already know that going in.
Yeah.
You're literally just throwing money away. What benefit does John Wall have? Now, maybe he's good with young players. I don't know. John Wall might actually be good, but I'd like a guy who's actually on the court. Beverly might have a benefit here in terms of showing guys how to really play hard on the defensive end. Maybe there's something that would benefit the Rockets. John Wall is basically no benefit to anyone anymore. And it's sad because he was a really good player at one point, but the injuries have just really taken their toll. He's a guy that's always going to have to play limited games, so you're going to pay him a maximum salary for limited games. It's never going to sit well with ownership. He'll never sit well with a fan base. He'll come up and have some games where you're like, wow, the John Wall's back. That's the John Wall that we've seen. That's vintage John Wall. And then he has 14 points, and then he doesn't play in a couple of games. And that what good does that do a Rocket team?
So Marcus Morris is under contract through 23-24. His final year of his deal.
How much is it?
Final year of his deal will be over $17 million at 34 years old. Luke Kennard is under contract until 23-24. He would only be 27. It'll be just under 15. So those are medium deals you could much easier get rid of.
But 15, that's 32 in that last year.
Yeah, well,
that's a lot.
The question is, do they make it to that last year if their contracts you can move easily?
But you can get out of Wall after 23, so you'd be adding another year on.
These are the decisions you have to make.
That's a tough one. When we come back, the San Francisco 49ers had a rule in their playbook that I fully endorse. Okay? And so we'll let you know what that is on the other side. Right now, though, I'm talking about golf. You know I love golf. Probably playing golf today. I know I'm playing golf.
Are you a golf guy?
I love golf. This week is the British Open. Well, it's the Open Championship. It's the Open, actually, as it's called now. And I'm here to tell you how to make it really, really interesting if you're not a big golf fan like me. It's easy. It's called MyBookie. MyBookie, you can place bets on who you think will win the Open and get great odds doing it. Just go to mybookie.ag, make your first deposit, use promo code BET975, and receive a 50% deposit bonus up to $1,000. In other words, if you deposit $200, they're going to give you an extra $100 to play with, so you'll have $300. If you put in $2,000, they'll give you an extra $1,000, so you got $3,000. MyBookie makes betting easy, whether on the computer or on your phone. It's just not golf. NBA Finals, baseball, soccer, it's all there on MyBookie.ag. So get started now. MyBookie.ag, promo code BETBET975, BET975, to secure a deposit up to $1,000. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys. So TJS Insurance, I've told you a couple times about it. If you haven't been listening, I want to make sure I let you know that for a lot of people, there's a belief that, like with a cell phone company or electric company or whatever the case, if you switch over, then you're going to get hit with this big fee because it's a contract. You don't have contract with homeowners insurance at all. If you want to switch over, you can switch over anytime you want. Now, if you're like me and you think, well, okay, but I've already prepaid, so I guess I have to wait till it's over. No, this is what they do. TGS Insurance will go in, they'll contact the company about, about canceling, or they'll give you whatever number for you to do that. And it's a wrap. They will basically, this new company, or the old company rather, will then send you money back. They will send you your prorated amount back so that you get that money back in the form of a check or a debit back into your account. And that's what I did. I got my prorated amount back. I was with the company for the second time in a row, and we were 2 months in, and I texted money to 23, 23, 23, and I got a much lower rate with TGS. And so we made the switch on the same day. TGS Insurance is a text away at 23, 23, 23. That's the number. You send the word money, and they will shop for A-rated insurance for you. And as I said, they make it hassle-free. Make sure that you make the call over to TGS Insurance to see if you can put more of your money back in your pocket with your homeowner's insurance.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, Darren Rovell tweeted out from the 49ers playbook from the late 80s. And it's typed up. You can tell it's a picture of their playbook.
This would have been Bill Walsh?
This would have been under Bill Walsh when they were winning titles.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, it might have been Seifert in the late 80s.
No, I don't think Seifert was until, because then he went to, I don't think that was George Seifert. I think Seifert was into the mid-90s, I want to say. And then he went to the Panthers. Might have been Seifert. Let me check.
It's their San Francisco 49ers fine schedule. They're fine. How the players get fined and what they get fined for. Number 7. Visitors in players' rooms. Players should avoid visitors in their rooms at training camp, on road trips, or in the motel during home games. This applies to male and female guests. Okay. Players should avoid visitors in their rooms at training camp. Okay. Fines will be levied at the discretion of the head coach. All right. Mm-hmm. Female visitors will be judged as to appearance and poise on a 1 to 10 scale. Fines will be increased in direct proportion to a player's lack of good taste. The head coach's evaluation is final. This, I think,
is... So that's locker room stuff that's supposed to say inside the team as a joke. Darren Rovell procured it.
Or
I know it's problematic and all that stuff.
No. How many times did the head coach actually go?
What year was this?
This was in the late 80s.
Okay, because Seifert was 89 to 96.
Okay.
So it would have been probably
under Walsh.
Yeah.
But
Seifert was defense coordinator on
the team. Question to any old San Francisco 49ers is how many guys did get fined? Did Walsh or Seifert, whoever had this rule, actually go, dude, that was bad. You're getting fined.
Okay, so this is going to be considered problematic, and they will. Going to tear down anyone's statues in San Francisco? Because that one's going to be not considered ally-based.
I don't know. I mean,
no, I'm just saying, you know how it's going to be. This is going to, Darren Revelle thought he had a funny thing. Every NFL player, would be joking about this. And now watch, this is going to turn into a thing.
Oh, no.
You don't think this will turn into a thing?
No. Oh, what the? These guys are so old right now.
Bill
especially
Walsh.
Bill
the
Walsh.
The problematic
or George
tenure of Bill
is
Walsh.
Is Bill Walsh still alive? No.
I think he is.
Is he? Well, he's 80-some years old. Why would he care?
You know what's crazy?
He was
a lot younger, Coach.
He's been dead for 14 years.
Yeah. No. But Bill Walsh is actually still alive.
No, he's not.
No.
Yeah, so is Biggie's dead. Yeah, right.
No, look.
So Tupac's dead. Bill Walsh is dead, too. He's here, just like
they
are.
What about George Seifert?
He's still alive. He's 81.
81. He doesn't care. He's like Papa. He don't care what you think of him. He's going to wear wristbands and a toothpick. That's what he don't care.
Everyone does that now.
No, that's what Papa does because he don't care what you think. And you know what, George Seifert don't care what you think. You bring an ugly girl to the room, you're gonna get fined. And what was the problem in the late 80s with that?
Well, that's a big Coke era too, so it's not like you can really judge
that. Well, I think that's hilarious, but I don't think I'm supposed to say that.
Well.
I'm getting serious trouble.
Can I say it, though?
You get fined for bringing...
You can. I could get in trouble.
Say what you like, John.
Well, listen. If I was a judge, okay?
You couldn't be a judge because your biases would show immediately.
Yeah.
Oh,
listen.
I'm sorry, miss.
Did you...
You're a 4 on my scale. You're getting the max sentence.
Thank you.
But, sir...
But if you're a 9, you know what? Murder? Ah.
Sir, I stole that bread from my... My hungry kid. Look at you.
Yeah.
Maybe you should have stolen some.
Maybe
John would have been like, maybe you should have stolen some plastic surgery.
Stolen plastic. You can't steal plastic surgery, John.
He would say it, though. You
could have defrauded him. The doctor.
Darren Revelle tweets all the time.
He tweets a lot.
Oh, my gosh. When did he tweet this? Because I'm going just through the media section.
It was July 10th.
That was July 10th?
Yeah, yes. Here it is.
Well, good for him.
I'm just interested in what the comments are.
49ers getting canceled in 3-2-1.
It's disturbing to me that someone writing such material for an NFL team cannot spell the word discretion correctly. Okay. I mean, and then someone else goes, that's definitely not the biggest problem here. Dan Snyder took that page right out of the playbook. What else do we have?
It's from the late 80s.
Need more of that in the NFL in 2021, somebody else says.
You do.
Let's be fair. Champions must act like it on and off the field.
Okay.
That's supposed to be
in 2020, would Daniel House have caught it? I don't know.
That's a coach right there.
Maybe that's why he didn't get to play anymore.
I don't think Adam Silver took.
Adam Silver was like, oh.
You're going to break the rules for her.
Yeah.
A lot of them are funny, but then this guy goes, this league was snorting thing. He's very, very mad about it.
I told you Coke was a big thing. You can't blame anybody for what they write.
Do you like this? Darren, real question here. Do you live your life to tattle?
He does, probably.
That is a real tattletale, tattletale move.
Yeah. Anyway, I kind of like the late 80s.
Imagine arguing that you're fine.
The late 80s were great.
Oh, the late 80s were phenomenal.
Yeah.
Imagine arguing that your fine wasn't enough because the head coach thought your girl was a 6 and not a 9. Then it gets to taste. Yeah, obviously, you're going to throw that number at me because we know you like certain things.
Yeah. Well, back then, you know, skinny was fine. Now, not nearly as much.
I mean, what if Bill Walsh wasn't an ass guy and the guy brought a girl with a great peach? Does that affect the score?
I mean, if you're not an ass, you can appreciate a great peach.
You know what I have
I don't know that.
Today? I have an anti-discrimination mandatory meeting with the NFL where we all have to do it from noon to 1. It's mandatory.
Oh.
And you guys are having me involved with this filth of yours.
Look to your right. It's not you guys.
Be an ally, okay?
Yeah.
Both of you. You too, Del.
Are you
bring in a girl with a quote-unquote nice peach?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm asking, would Bill Walsh
Oh, my God. I don't refer to it as a peach. You say bum like a proper Englishman.
I'm not calling it a bum.
You say a nice bum like a proper Englishman.
I was being polite when I said peach, I thought.
Is a bum considered polite?
I don't know. I like peach because it's nice to say.
An absolutely brilliant bum she's got, eh? See, look how nice that. Look how
well. Have look fun how at your meeting today.
Now use that. Use that accent to talk about Marcus Rashford and see how nice it sounds.
Marcus Rashford, would it make you feel better if I gave you this bum? See, that's how somebody
are you
can
giving
make
your
feel
bum
better.
To him?
Not me. That's a.
What are you doing?
That's not me. That's a British woman.
That's a British woman.
That's Kate Winslet.
You know what?
Kate Winslet.
Why not?
She doesn't sound at all like that.
Yes, she does.
Because she's
she talks dirty.
Ooh,
you ever seen Extras?
Yeah,
with Ricky Gervais when she was the nun.
Yeah, but she's
telling people how to.
She doesn't
talk.
Have a Cockney accent.
That wasn't Cockney.
No.
But that's what you say. Would you like to have a go at the bum? That's British.
Would you like
a go at the bum?
Are you? What are you offering? You're not offering what I think you're offering.
Not
are you?
Me, but that's what she could say would to make like, him feel better about choking and ruining his whole country.
Ask one of your British friends. If you ask them, would you like to have a go at the bum, what that means to them?
You know what it means? That's what she's saying. Yeah, this is a wag. A wannabe wag.
Hopefully the NFL isn't listening to this conversation.
I'm channeling a British woman trying to make Marcus Rashford feel better.
I don't think
she
they
might
say
that. Would
you know what like made him feel better? Nice notes from people. Not a go at the bum.
I don't think that's the thing.
But then again, you're also just assuming that the go at the bum would also not make him feel better.
No,
and I don't know that I'm prepared to. I don't know that you're prepared to say.
No,
that.
No, I'm not prepared.
He's kind of young.
The go at the bum is
he's
much better
young.
Than
I don't
a
know
nice
if,
note.
I don't know if going at the bum is what he's looking for.
Well,
at 23.
Look what I got, everyone. It's a nice note. Look how much better I feel about this nice note I received.
Look what the note says. Would you like to have a bum?
But look what this girl sent me on Instagram. which one makes me feel better? This Instagram picture
they're different
or this
versions.
Note?
They're different versions of feeling better.
Break. Yes.
He was emotionally. Emotionally.
He was in tears.
That's what he's saying.
He was in tears. Of course, that bum could be like an onion now. Bring
make,
you to tears.
Make you cry. Yeah. I'm going to make you cry. I don't know.
Nah, I would never say something like that, but you would. Not on Anti-Discrimination Day.
Is that what today is?
Today, anti-discrimination?
I don't know that that's the day. It's the day I've got the... It's on my calendar. Hey, 12 o'clock noon. Show up.
Anti-discrimination meeting for an hour. How about don't say any bad words about people? That'd be great. Okay? That's anti-discrimination.
Maybe it takes
there
a little bit
is.
More for some people.
No,
there it is. It took four seconds.
It's a little more than that.
Okay,
I think this meeting's going to be a little bit more than don't say bad words.
I'm pretty sure I could teach this class, okay?
You would be the least qualified.
Oh, my God.
You
would not be.
Let's talk about the kids and getting a car for them.
Cars for Kids. So, Cars for Kids, you've heard the commercials for anything. But they actually... everything that they do is something that, you know, we've talked about. It's very, very important. It helps to give kids a second chance at a diploma. I shouldn't say kids, students, a chance at a diploma, which is a big deal. When you mention ESPN Houston, they're going to give you a $50 Visa gift card as a thank you for your donation. But it's more than that. They'll come pick up this vehicle, whether it's running or not, directly. They'll pick it up from you. They can come get the car or the truck or the motorcycle, tow it away, and this is your opportunity to get pickup is free. The tax write-off is available there for you, so you can write off the car and not the kids. Do that with carsforkids.org.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Hey, SiteJab.com is the site you go to for more than just a brand new website. But, you know, what they do a lot of and what people really love is the fact that SiteJab can completely redo a website. They can make your site, they can bring it up to date. And what it means in that business is making sure that they're hitting all the notes in terms of the design, the flow of traffic. There's such an important piece that needs to be acknowledged by you, the business owner, that in terms of how people get to your site, how they interact with your site, how long they're there, and are you getting your message across to them? And that's what SiteJab can help you do. They can create lead generation. They do video production, branding, and identity. Of course, the web design. They can even help you with social media management and e-commerce, putting e-commerce on your website, which is which is enormous. So make sure that you check out SiteJab if you have a website or if you're a business or a company, and they can consult with you and let you know whether or not you are up to date on your site, because you could be losing lead generation and losing money if you're a small to medium-sized business. SiteJab.com, SiteJab.com.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Intern Kenny sitting down?
Today you write for Climbing Taos Hill, which is an Astro fan site. It's been around for a little while.
Yeah.
So how much writing do you do for this?
Yeah, I write about 3 articles a day. I get up to like 60 a month about Astros content.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the last few days would be a little slow. No Astros in the All-Star game. I did get out about 6 articles yesterday just based on what was happening with the
Astros.
So
what, just give us an example of what your 2 most engaged articles were.
Usually it's just like Jose Altuve stuff. Anyone wants to see Jose Altuve. If they see a Jose Altuve image or his name in the article, they want to see that.
Okay, so what are right now, this is interesting because you're going to have direct access because you do so much for that site, and that's a fan site. What are you fan-sided? I'm trying to remember.
Yes,
fan-sided,
it's
yeah.
Fan-sided.
So fan-sided is, yeah. You know, they bought up a group of fan sites and all that, and same thing with other sites for other sports. What do you find gets the most traction for Astros fans? Altuve, obviously. What else? Any other types of articles or players?
People like to see replacements. So if you say benefits of optioning, blah, 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 Robel Garcia, they want to see who's out there that could replace Robel Garcia.
So anything that's minor league.
Minor league replacements.
Next generation of players, potentially.
Yeah, when Miles Straw was struggling at the beginning of the year, the big headline was Jose Siri.
Yeah.
Everyone wanted to know what Jose Siri was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so Alex DeGatti, who was called up during the whole COVID issue with the Astros, and they're like, people want to know.
All of that.
Who's out there.
All of that plays with Astros fans. So I want to ask you, since you write for a fan site, the conversation, you heard us talking a little bit. Right now, Stephen A. Smith has a guy who covers the Korean Baseball League on. This is like clearly, it's after the Notes app. This is the final straw where he gets to basically make amends with the entire Asian community, I guess, is what Stephen A. Smith is going for. I'm curious what you think as a young baseball fan. How old are you right now?
I'm 20.
Okay, so you're 20. So as a young baseball fan and somebody who also is a content creator, so you would have some insight into this, which is why I wanted to bring you on. What do you think about his comments about and some of the discussions that we had, and feel free to disagree with this if you do, about Shohei Ohtani and being the face of baseball, which I think is the very specific argument that Stephen A. Smith was making, if he has an interpreter and is not English speaking. And before I ask you to answer that, are you a big fan of other sports too, or are you just baseball?
Oh yeah, everything.
Okay, well, so you can take in where basketball is, where football is. What are your thoughts on that as a young content creator?
I don't really support what he said, the way he said it, I guess. I think it's fine. You know, Shohei Ohtani opened up a huge market of more baseball fans in Japan. There's already enough baseball fans, but opening it up to Shohei Ohtani being the best player in the league. Like right now, he is the MVP. I don't think anyone else really stands a chance. You know, Vlad Guerrero Jr. is, you know, hitting the cover off the ball, but he's not pitching. Mm-hmm. You know, even if he has a sub-4 ERA, he's not the best ERA in the American League, he's still the best player in baseball in the American League. You know, Fernando Tatis Jr. is still up there. I don't agree with it. I think, you know, you have to have, you know, different sides of baseball, but he's opening up a new market. He's, you know, these younger kids are coming in watching the game. They want to see the flashy players. You know, it's not, they're going to break the unwritten rules. That's why people like new kids like Tatis.
But that's not, Ohtani's not breaking unwritten rules.
Oh,
but I know what you're saying, but let me ask you, what do you consider the face? Like, I guess you have to, I guess it starts with, and John, this could be a disconnect too, is that where you and I are coming from and Stephen A. Smith, it might be that we're working off of an older narrative of commercials, articles, coverage like that, as opposed to digital coverage, which is a lot different. It's you know, my son Alex said, well, they don't cover baseball much at ESPN. When ESPN puts something out, it's rarely baseball, but when it is, it's Tatis. He said it's a lot of Tatis, and now they're starting to put Otani out there. Mm-hmm. And so that's how he knew about Otani, is just keeps up with. So for him, marketing is ESPN's social media page, and how they cover baseball is how he keeps up with baseball. What do you consider to be the face of baseball? Like, how would you define that?
I think coming into the year, it was definitely Tatis, the most flashy
but
player.
But what encapsulates being a face of baseball? What do you have? Do you need to speak English to be the face of baseball? Do you need to be someone who can do commercials or get out and do a TV show or whatever the case may be?
Oh, not at all. I don't think so. I don't think that matters. You look at some of the best players in the league. Like, I thought they had they brought a bunch of players on MLB Network yesterday, and I thought Vlad Guerrero Jr. spoke English, and he didn't. And, you know, he's one of the biggest names in baseball right now. So I don't think that really matters if you speak English or you don't. If you don't even talk at all, I just think if you're one of the best players in the league and you're bringing in the most revenue, I think you're the face of baseball, and it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're a great player. That's it. I want to go see Shohei, and I've seen Shohei Ohtani hit, and you're glued to it when Shohei Ohtani is at the plate. There's no question about that. Ask about Pedro León and Jose Siri. Are these guys, how far away are they?
Are you keeping up with that first?
Oh, yeah. I go to Skeeter's games. I go in the press box. I went to a few this past weekend. The one thing I would say about Jose Siri, it's, you know, there's not a service time manipulation. They're not worrying about that. This guy's bounced around. There's a reason he's been DFA'd 3 different times in the last year. He doesn't take pitches. He doesn't have plate discipline. I wrote an article about it a few weeks ago that he was starting to take pitches, but he was striking out and just walking. He wasn't hitting home runs anymore. You know, when you get to AAA, when you start hitting consistently in AAA, power comes through. Big guys, Jake Myers, who's on like a 15-game hitting streak right now, he kind of goes unreported, but he's one of the big outfielding prospects for the Astros for the next few years. For someone like Pedro León, it's hard because he's the top position prospect for the Astros right now. And if the Astros are going to shop for a pitcher at the deadline, he's going to be in the conversations. And I don't think him or Corey Lee should be anywhere talked about. No.
I don't think they will be. I don't think. Not for if you're going to talk starter, that would be one thing. But reliever,
big name, you're going to have to give up somebody like that.
But Kimbrel, if you went after Kimbrel, because you go National League to American League, that might take a León. I don't know that that's worth it for me.
I don't think it is either. I think Pedro León has a lot of upside. They're moving him to shortstop. He is making a few errors, but he has a cannon of an arm. That's why they're testing him out there. Yeah. So I saw him at spring training. He looked good. He was out for about 2 weeks before the Futures game with like a minor shoulder injury. But he's back. He's hitting more consistently than he was before. For a while, he was an OPS of like 570 for a few weeks. Oh. Now he's more above the minor league average, around 750.
And Corey Lee is hitting it.
He's
and
killing it.
Finally a catcher that can hit.
Well, he was 19 first-round pick, so 20 was a dead year for minor leaguers. Yeah. So this is his first time to really, really shine, and he's shining.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he got promoted to AA a few months ago. There isn't that much room right now in AAA. Garrett Stubbs is there. Papirski is there. Colton Shaver is there. But, you know, they already moved. They already traded Lorenzo Quintana, who is a AAA catcher. So I think they're thinking about it. They're thinking about moving him up one more notch, and next season could be it.
Yeah, so he's still a couple of years away.
Yeah, I'd say next year he might see some time in September.
In September,
yeah
next year.
Because he's right out of college catcher.
So he's a little bit older.
Yeah,
but he's hitting it. Finally, a catcher that might actually be able to hit for the Houston Astros. That'd be something. That'd be something different. Well, good stuff, man.
Tell people how to read your
Climbing
your
Tales
work.
Hill.
Well, my Twitter account is at the Vandalorian. It's like the Mandalorian, but with a V. Climbing Tales Hill, Astro CTH on Twitter and on Facebook. And we post about 3 to 4 articles every day, random times about the day, just Astros information, Astros rumors.
And what's your Twitter handle? At Astros CTH?
Yep, that's for the Climbing Tales Hill account.
Crawfish Boxes and Climbing Tales Hill have been two of the fan sites that have been around for a while. Mm-hmm. Creating good content. Well, good. Good to have you here as an intern. It's mm-hmm. You go to school at U of H. Where are you going to school?
I go to Mizzou.
Oh, so you're a fancy. You're one of those fancy journalism prospects. That's why you have to write 6 articles a day.
You go,
old school journalism.
You go to Mizzou and you follow the Astros every day.
Yeah.
And the minor leagues.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're from here, though.
I'm from here, though.
Yeah.
It would help if you went to Houston Baptist because it's right over there. You know what I'm saying? That would be, that would be easy.
I don't know if you heard, John, the internet exists. He doesn't actually have to be in the city.
How are you able to keep up with these teams without being able to watch
it? It's impossible. It's impossible. 13,000 followers on Twitter at AstrosCTH. Follow them and get all their stuff. I'm going to get all your stuff. A lot of good stuff in there. And you write most of it.
I write about 95% of it.
That's great stuff. Look at Kenny working. And why'd you start here? How'd this happen?
Patrick Creighton, I ran into him on Twitter once. He retweeted one of my articles, so I reached out to him, and he sent me this way.
Oh, nice.
Good for him. That's good why Cam, our guy, Cam came from my brother. He coached Cam in high school, and he's at U of H. So, yeah, we've got a good set. Anna from TechSags, Charles, like, we got a good set of interns working right now.
Yeah.
Really good set.
Oh, look at that. So if the intern crop actually comes from people who are interested in this as opposed to, you got to get out the house. One of John's friends, hey, get this kid out my house for a week.
Yeah, that's usually
better.
That's
not as good when John brings somebody in.
It's usually better than Juby.
Hey, I got one of Frankie's friends. That'll be a day or two max.
Way to go, Kenny. Way to work hard, buddy. You're going places. Way to go. That's Kenny Van Doren. Right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
And since Kenny is leaving and Lance is leaving.
Bye, bitch.
Oh, that's wow. Not for Kenny. That's not for you.
I can't believe he did that for
that's
you,
Kenny.
That's
not for you, Kenny.
You crumb bum.
You crumb bum.
You crumb bum. Yeah, Kenny, that was not for you. That was for Lance.
Don't speak for the sound effect. You don't know who it was for.
I know who it was for. It was for Lance. You're not doing that to an intern. Crumb bum. You crumb bum, Dell. It's time to talk about, you know who's not a crumb bum?
Craig the Surf.
He is not a crumb bum. As a matter of fact, he's an award winner, and they're giving away the award tomorrow. The owners are the owner is going to be in. I'm headed in there to get some quick, basically just my tune up at, you know, at the mileage I'm at. Nothing's wrong with the car. I just want to get that taken care of before vacation, and I can't wait to go in and see Craig and the entire staff and celebrate with them as they win another award. They're always my guess is it's customer service index because they win it all the time. People are so excited about and they're just so happy with what they get from my friends over at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Listen, some tremendous offers are available. 0% financing for 72 months on select models of Chevrolet. You've got Buick Enclave and Encore that are going for unbelievably low numbers right now. Great pickup trucks on the GMC side with the GMC Sierra pickup truck. But there's never been a better time than right now to trade in your vehicle because it's a hot, hot market, and you are getting a great, great purchase price from my friends over at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, and it's going to help you get that purchase or lease the vehicle you're looking for. Go to LanceZCars.com to start your car buying experience.
ESPN 97.5.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save.